We've been talking about different aspects of Limud HaMusar. And I'd like to talk a little bit today about Chinuch HaMusar, because we spoke a little bit about Musar B'Spailus, we spoke about Chochmas HaMusar, and about Chinuch HaMusar, I'd like to talk a little bit because there's an issue with Chinuch HaMusar and negative Chinuch HaMusar that we don't realize. And, you know, truth of the matter is that the greatest gift that Hashem has given us is the ability to control ourselves. It's literally gvura. Ezehu gibor hakovishes yitzroi. One who controls the Yetzirah rather than the Yetzirah controlling him is the true gibor. That's the ultimate strength, because physical strength is whatever it is, it's pretty much limited. And
what's the translation of Gibor?
What?
Translate Gibor.
Gibor is strong. Is physical strength is very much limited, and it's very much assisted. Your physical strength and the success of the actions that you do with your physical strength are assisted by Kodesh Baruch Hu. It's completely His doing, you know. If you have power in your fist to really, you know, do damage to someone, it's because HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes that happen. When it comes to Kovishes Yitzroi, that's in the Gether of Bechira Chofshis, which means that it's true Gvura. It's my Gvura. It's my unadulterated Gvura. Maybe I have a Siyata Dishmayo Vaboletayer Messiah Loi, B'derach Shodom Roitze Lelich, Melichen Oisoi, but ultimately, there's a great element of human Gvura, because the Kvishes Hayetzer is the Yerushamayim, Akol Bidei Shamayim, Chutz Mi Yerushamayim, that's really what I was given Bechira for. So if a person wants to validate himself and feel strong and feel that I really, you know, I feel good about myself because of my strength. You know, some people flex their muscles to feel good about themselves, and some people show other forms of strength or endurance to feel good about themselves. The ultimate feeling good about myself, in the truest, fullest sense of myself, is Gibor HaKoivishes Yitzro. So, Kvishes HaYetzer is a very, very fulfilling and self-validating type of an experience. It also is a very developmental type of experience, because every time I'm koivish the Yetzer, it's as if I did another strength and endurance building exercise. And that's the moshul that we can best relate to today, probably. Every time, you know, in the world of exercise, I mean, I guess for the old lazy people, they advocate that whatever you could do, if you could walk an extra 10 feet from where you park your car to where you have to go, it's also, you know, it's considered in the cheshbon of the exercise that you need. If you could stand instead of sit, if you can walk back and forth when you're saying Psukei the Zimra, you know what I mean? Something like that. I hope I'm not starting a movement over here, literally a movement. I noticed a couple of people copying that, but it's like the only exercise I get. Anyway, so, but if you could do that, it counts. It doesn't count for big. Don't fool yourself to think you can be mistopic with that. But every act that we do builds physical strength, physical well-being, exercises the muscles, exercises the various parts of the system that need to be exercised. Well, same thing in the spiritual world. Every kvishas hayetzer is an act of chinuch hamusar, meaning an action that not only has worth in its own right because of the thing I restrained from, or the act that I brought myself to do against the opposition of the Yetzirah, you know, like getting out of bed in the morning, or like whatever else it may be. But it has a chinuch hamus, it has an exercise, it has an effect on making me that stronger person in control of myself. And there are so many opportunities for that. You know, when we think about it, it's like there's so many opportunities to develop self-control. Take, for example, a person is davening Shmon Esrei. So it's so easy for the mind to wander. Sometimes it wanders so far we don't even realize that it was wandering, and we don't remember that we wandered, we don't remember that we were davening, we don't remember anything, we don't know whether we're alive. You know, but a person can develop strength. And looking in the siddur is a way to develop that, because I'm focused, it gives me focus. Ad kidei kach, I believe that before the Anshei Knesset were mesader the Nusach HaTfilah, that saying the words was a chiyuv min haTorah for the mitzvah of tefillah. And once, it's a whole thing, I mentioned it once, and once they were mesader the Nusach, then min haTorah you don't have to say the words anymore. If you mouth them and just maybe even whisper them just a little bit, and that's even midrabbanan, that's not really the chiyuv, but you could be yoytzeh. Because once there's a Nusach, then we can focus. Without a Nusach, if we're just saying it this, like this, without a Nusach, there's no Nusach and there's no focus, I lose it altogether. So looking inside is a very, very helpful thing. But it's also, what?
Chana didn't say the words.
Who?
Chana.
Who? Chana. Chana? Well, she,
Bayeli.
No, but she, he couldn't hear the words, but she, they, the Achroinim, but the Achroinim, yeah, but the Achroinim say it should be enough, you should mouth it. The Lashon of the Mechaber is, something different than really saying it, but the Achroinim say enough that you should faintly hear what you're saying. Well, whatever, that's not the discussion for now, but that's all midrabbanan. Midaraisa, once there's a nusach, that's why it's called Avida Shebelev. The only thing is, before they made a nusach, you couldn't really do the Avida Shebelev because, what? Because your heart, your mind is flowing. It's not Avida Shebelev. Once there's a nusach, you do. All right, that's a different discussion. I don't want to get into that now. What? Who?
Doesn't
it,
what
do
you believe? It's just
Havanos.
Just...
No. But the if you look at the Mishnah Berurah, you'll find a very interesting thing. In Hilchus Krishma, in Hilchus Brochus, in Hilchus Krishma, Brochus, and Birchas Hamozein, he all clears the Shaila about Hirhur Kedibur or not, whether Hirhur is Kedibur. In Shmoneh Esrei, he doesn't bring that Shaila of Hirhur Kedibur, because there's no din of dibur. Avodah Shebelev means there's no meikar din. It's not a din in dibur. It's whatever. It's a whole different discussion. I just say, but lemaisa, focus every act, every controlled act, every act of self-control, every control of a temptation that I was miskaber is not only the schar that a person gets, and when it comes to being miskaber on saying lashon hara, it says the schar is ein l'shayim. But it's an act of chinuch hamusar. It's an act of developing self-control. And every time that a person exercises self...
Chinuch hamusar involves more than just self-control, no?
No, but it's action. But this is one very important action. If a person has self-control, then the rest of the musar is much easier for him. Because he has control. He has to know what to do. He has to want to do it. You know, he has to be aware of the pitfalls, but he has at least the kalim to do it. Without self-control, you have nothing. If a person has no self-control, say, I want everything. You know, it's like the guy wants it, I want to be on a diet, but I have no control of what I eat. I just keep eating whatever I see. You know, whatever I see, I eat. So it's like, it can't work. So anyway, so I'm just suggesting that this is I noticed there's a lot of, and I wish we could do something about it. There's a lot of talking during davening. Some people come over and talk to us, and some of us, we don't answer. But even if we don't answer, we really shouldn't let them talk. I mean, it's a terrible chinuch, and it's such a positive action when a person is miskaber. Any act of iskabrus, any restraining myself from doing something, is not only the great schar that I get, and the bigger the temptation, the greater the schar, but the development, the developmental aspect. Chinuch hamusa means I'm mechanich myself, I'm entering myself into the realm of, in this particular area, of being able to control myself. So that's a very, what?
If you're not talking, the other person's talking too, how is that?
That's a good question. I guess, but your tendency is to let the person talk. You don't want to insult them. You don't want to this. But be misgaber on that, because you're hurting the person. Because by listening, you're having him to talk more, and you're really hurting him. But I hear your point.
Walk
That's a good
away.
Point. What?
Walk away.
No, you know, you say, yeah, you find
have
something
you ever
to
done
say.
That to somebody
what?
Who's trying to talk to you?
What's that?
Have you ever done that, trying to talk to somebody who's trying to
oh,
talk to you?
Oh, for sure.
Okay.
Oh, for sure. You watch what I do when someone tries to talk to me during davening. Hoo-hoo. Okay. I hope you're not the lucky one who tries, you know what I mean? Anyway, but I'm just, this is, anyway, so we're talking, listen. What did you say? I missed that.
I said social experiment number 6.
What's that? Okay. Anyway, so we're talking now about the concept of Chinuch HaMusar. And the concept is really a very simple concept. Actions are mashpia on the heart, the neshoma, and even the physical entity of the human being. I love to quote the study, and Dr. Pelkowitz actually showed me this study many years ago, and it was a study done about OCD and obsessive compulsive disorder. And there are two forms of treatment, like treatments of choice. One is medication. So medication eases that obsession or that compulsion to do things, or the obsession to keep thinking about something and always it's on my mind, I can't stop, or the compulsion, I must act in a certain way, I must touch this again and again, I must repeat, I must, whatever it may be. So medication eases that. There's another treatment of choice, and that's behavior modification. If my compulsion, I'm obsessed with this particular piece of whatever it is, yeah, and I'm compulsion to touch it all the time. I have to check if it's in my pocket. I go 50 times a minute to make sure that it's here. The whole thing is worth $10, you know what I mean? But 50 times a minute, I'm going, that's pretty, you know, that's a terrible compulsion. And when I don't do that, if my hands are tied behind my back, I'm thinking about the whole time, I'm obsessed. Very serious. Now, he said what they do is, in behavior modification, is they'll tie your hands or forbid you in some way, or put something, whatever it may be, that you can't do it. In other words, you'll be, if you're the one who's trying to help me with this behavior modification, the minute you see me go like that, you'll grab my hand, you won't let me touch it. You know, or you'll discipline the person, or you'll give him a consequence, something to generate actions that will hold back on this compulsion. It's harder on obsession, but on the compulsion, you can do that. And they discovered, interestingly, that they basically say that OCD is a problem of an imbalance in brain chemistry with this serotonin levels in the brain. And they discovered that the serotonin levels adjust equally whether you use medication, which is a very logical thing because I put chemicals into the brain, so it affects the brain chemistry, or the actions. The actions can affect the brain chemistry just as chemicals affect the brain chemistry, which really is, I mean, to them, maybe it was a big discovery, but it's chadova poshet, because Chinuch HaMusar says that when a person, the power of actions, the actions of the hands, of the body, of the legs, of the eyes, of the whatever part of the body, connect with the heart, connect with the mind, connect with the neshoma, and it actually has an influence on the spiritual for sure, emotional, psychological, and even physical, because the chemistry, the body, the brain chemistry is physical. Even on the physical chemistry that goes inside a person, actions of control of the compulsion will affect the levels of serotonin, which are the problem behind the cause of this compulsion. So Lemaise, this is a very, very powerful thing. If you notice, the Sefer HaChinuch is all about, that's why it's called Sefer HaChinuch, and that's what he talks about. Odom nifal lefi pu'uloisov. A person is activated according to his actions. The actions that he does create activity, activation, create tendencies, create habit, create...
Is that only when it's mindful?
What? That's a good question. What Pashtus is, that when it's mindful, it's very powerful. But even not mindful could have a certain amount, I would just say, that's my own idea, as long as it's not oynes. Because oynes in halacha is lav kiman de ovid. What?
Why is OCD not oynes?
Oh, no, you're forcing yourself. I my example wasn't great. You're right, you're right, 100%. If, well, first, unless I ask him, excuse me, it's not really an oynes, because I asked him to stop me from doing it. So, you know, you're right, you're 100% right. This is if he's mamish forcing me and I'm not asking for that, you're right. It probably wouldn't work as well.
What was an example for us?
What?
Somebody's pointed out. Yeah.
What about Misasek?
What?
First time. I got used to
Misasek is also not, maybe that's not a Maisa. That's not a maisa. I don't know. I imagine it has a little bit, but not much. The real action is an intended action. When a person intends, it's well known that a person who does acts of chesed becomes a bal chesed, an uyhev chesed, and a roidev chesed. That's what happens. You know, because the more he does, the more it becomes part. It becomes almost an obsessed with chesed, and a compulsed to do chesed. How can you not do chesed? A day went by, like every Boy Scout has to do a good deed. You know, that's the thing. If you have to do one good deed a day, if you're a Boy Scout.
What? When does like mental illness come into play?
What's that?
When does like a mental illness come into play?
What do you mean a mental illness?
Meaning like, I don't know, Judaism. I find a lot of people in Judaism, it's a great like breeding ground for mental illness, for anxiety, based on doing my chesed like that. Oh, now I have to do it. Is that not a fear?
Okay, that's a fear, but you know, it's a little bit overrated, but a little bit, it is definitely, is this mine? It is a reality. It is a problem. I would say like this. Yeah, listen. I would say like this. No. There is a danger. There's a danger of other people pushing us. There's a danger. One second.
If he was not Jewish, we'd do something else.
No. Wait. This was not meant as an accusation or a criticism of Yahadus. That's not what it was meant. If it was, get out of here. You hear? It wasn't meant. No.
Only attack you, not Yahadus.
What? Okay. No, it wasn't meant that way. But what? There is an issue, but it isn't really a religious issue. It's an issue of anybody taking anything too far. And there has to be a balance. That's why the Rambam says something else. The Rambam says it's interesting. It's an amazing piece. In the beginning of Hilchos Teis, the Rambam says that one of the midas of Hashem, you have to follow in the midas of Hashem, is, he says, you have to go b'derech hamemutza. Now, derech hamemutza is not one of the midas of Hashem. Hashem doesn't go in the derech hamemutza. He does what he has to do, and he knows what he has to do, and he does it when he has to do, and how he has to do it. So he don't need, what? What's that?
Maybe that's
middle way. What does that mean?
Mutza means it could be high, it could be low, but average is the middle.
So he's average? You call him my God average?
Yeah. What's the problem?
Well, what average is? What Hashem by Hashem is average.
Sometimes you need to have it here. The average is here.
Oh no, but he doesn't go with that. And what if he didn't make the average this week? He's going to do something to compensate for it so he can make the average.
This is the derech.
He says that the Rambam defines the derech hamutza between shnei haktsovos.
Right.
He says not Hashem doesn't always go. So he knows when he has to go to the extreme. When
he
means doesn't mean average. It means middle. No, it's not true. Okay, look inside.
Hebrew
your,
means
what?
In
modern Hebrew. In modern Hebrew. What? In the Rambam, it doesn't mean that. You'll look inside. We'll look inside together. We'll look at the first parak in Hilchos Deis. We'll look. We'll see. But anyways, I just want to tell you what I think the pshat is like this. What is the maila of the middle ground? The maila is true self-control. Because, you know, it's like a seesaw. When you're on one extreme, it goes all the way like this. Other extreme goes like this. Who's the one who controls it? You're in the middle. If you're holding the middle controls it. So for a human being to be doimel Hashem in the midah of self-control, because that's the ultimate. Hashem controls everything he does. He does exactly what he wants to do, what he's supposed to do, when he's supposed to do it, how he's supposed to do it, without any compromise whatsoever. If we wish to emulate Hashem in that, then we have to go in the middle path. In other words, not too many extremes. There shouldn't be too much gaiva. There shouldn't be too much anova. There shouldn't be too much zrizus, because sometimes we use zrizus to do an avera. There shouldn't be too much atzlus, but a little bit might be good, a measured amount, because an atzlus can also keep you from an avera. And all of these things have to be balanced, but the ikar is a human being has to be in control. The way to keep control is to practice control. And I got to tell you something. Control is the ultimate validation that a person can have. When a person feels that he's not in control, his life is unraveling. That you hear all the time. I'm losing it. I'm not in control of my life. I feel my life is out of control. It's the worst curse. It's the ultimate curse. It's like on a human level. I mean, people suffer all kinds of things, but on a human level, on a human mind level, and on a human emotional level, it's like, I'm out of control. Life is out of control. Like just spiraling. I can't hold it back. I can't control it. I can't anything. I said nothing. I'm losing it. And that's something we have to practice all the time.
Does it spill over from not just any physical holding back of anything, not just going on a diet or something like that?
Yeah, a diet for sure. A diet develops self-control. Not the way I diet, but the way you diet, you know. Develop self-control. Develop self-control. If a person does it seriously, that, of course that develops self-control. And that, by the way...
Does that flower over into...
Sure. It's the midah of self-control, the midah of kvishas hayetzer. Anytime there's a yetzer, anytime there's a kvisha, then there's a gvura that's developed. Just like if I go pick up weights, every time I go like this, I'm developing more muscles. What?
Could be that you did that for another... Totally different reason. Happens to be that it caused you to have something.
It doesn't matter, but you're lemaisa, you're intentionally, it's true. If somebody forced starves you, I don't know. If somebody takes away all your food and you're forced to starve, then I don't know. But if you intend, whether your intention is someone's giving you money for it, you don't like the way you look, you got to do this, you got to do that, whatever it may be, you know, you're preparing to go on in the movies or on Hollywood or something, whatever it may be.
You can get to the opposite extreme.
All right, okay. Like, and anything going to the extreme, but the concept is a concept of self-control. Okay, so now, the thing is like this. When it comes to Musar, so okay, we know there's such a thing as a Musar Seder. So we open up a Musar Sefer and we read Chochmas HaMusar. Maybe some of us have heard that there's such a thing as Musar B'Spailus. And that means, you know, and I've given many times the examples of how if something goes in. I have another example. I don't know if I ever shared this with you. Maybe I did. I shared it with somebody. I was Nishtoimim a few weeks ago. A few weeks ago on Shabbos morning, when I was saying in Shmoneh Esrei, Yismach Moshe b'matnas chelkoi, I realized something that's been going on for more than 50 years. That every time I say those words, I think of a person by the name of Nouriel Aryeh. Nouriel Aryeh is there's a lot of Aryeh brothers. We've had some of the next generation. Here in the yeshiva over the years, this Shmuel Aryeh is that's not from his grandfather, but his grandfather's brother it is, whatever. And he used to sing in the yeshiva with the real Persian, they're Persians, you know, say, Yismach Moshe b'matnas chelkoi. I'm not going to do it for you now because the tape is on. But anyway, b'matnas hello, something like that, you know, that's what it sounded like to me. You know, b'matnas, and I think of that, him and that tune every single shot. Kimat, I can't swear for it. But every time I realize that, I always think of that. Because that went in with a tune. I call that music. I don't know if it was exactly, but it was a tune, you know, and it stayed in the subconscious. And every time there's an association with those words, Yismach Moshe b'matnas chelkoi. So music penetrates. So Rabbi Yisrael Salanter said, if you learn Musa B'Spailus and you say the words with a nigun and you choose an appropriate kind of a nigun, one that fits the tune and the mood and the mode that you want to, that you want to get in with, and it says that leaves an impression that reaches the subconscious. That's the same thing I tell the story all the time with the car. I used to listen to music and I'd shut the car, go away for a couple hours, come back, and as I would put the key in the door, I'd find myself humming a tune and Jewish music, and as I turned on the car, all of a sudden it's that place on the tape, exactly that place that I'm humming. That's exactly where I left it, hours later, because music penetrates the subconscious. So if we wish to get a message to the subconscious, and the Aleph Beis of Chochmas HaMusar is that the subconscious controls everything. You see, because the conscious mind is much easier to fight. I know that I want to do this because I don't like this person, and therefore I want to do something that may hurt him. So that's a conscious thought. If it's a conscious thought, it's relatively easy to fight. The Torah said, the Torah said, this, the Torah said, I could battle it. I could deal with it. The subconscious, we don't even know what we're fighting. Subconscious, by definition, means that I'm not aware of it. Now, it does not mean that I can't access it, because we have the ability to access the subconscious through learning Musar, and there are ways to do that, and that's all part of the Chochmas HaMusar. But the subconscious mind is ultimately in terrible control of what we have, and therefore, to compete with the subconscious, to enter the values, yeah, not only the value that I know unconsciously, you're not allowed to hurt somebody else. Well, fine. But it becomes part of my subconscious. Therefore, it on the subconscious level, it can compete with, it can fight with the subconscious desire to hurt you, even though I'm not aware that I have that desire, and therefore I can't fight it on an overt intellectual level. So it has tremendous power, and this is what, anyway, so, but Lemaisa, what it's all about is a combination. It's all about a combination. Without the total combination, a person. Rabbi Yisrael Salanta actually has a fourth thing. He calls it Chochmas HaOlam. It's not too widely discussed, but the way I understand it, it's like a person has to take all of this and see the world in this context. It's very possible that a person can know the Chochmah intellectually, theoretically, and do the things that are necessary. But if he doesn't understand what's going on, if he doesn't know how it plays out in the actual world, then he may be missing something. He has to study the way people act. One of the things they say, im tevak shino kekesef. If you really want to understand what it means to pursue Chochmas HaTorah, you have to watch a businessman. A businessman is pursuing every penny. I'll never forget, I sat in a multi-millionaire's office many years ago. Today, multi-millionaire is no big deal, you know, but it was very, very wealthy man at the time, considered. He owned, I used to see the stamps of the accounts, you know, they used to stamp the back of the checks. And he had a whole thing with 30 maybe stamps. In other words, like all the different facilities have their, each one has its own bank account. So I think I had a lot of stuff. Anyway, so I was sitting in his office as a man who never raised his voice. Never, never. I knew him fairly well and never raised his voice. And he's talking to a secretary in one of his facilities about the janitor there, the super, whatever they call him over there, who there was a lock that broke and he replaced it. And he spent $65, I remember the numbers even, on a new lock. It was a very caution the lock, whatever it was. But this guy, Tainet, he could have fixed it for half price instead of buying a new lock. And I remember, here I'm thinking this multi-millionaire, and he's talking about $30-$35, and he says, just tell him that if it ever happens again, it will be the last time. And I learned a lesson. What it means, im tivak sheno kekesef. I have millions and millions of dollars in property in the bank and cash and everything under my mattress. Not shaykh. But $30 was wasted. If it ever happens again, it'll be the last time. Because that's what it means. It's a businessman for kesef is not shaykh every penny. That's how he makes money. He said, what's 10 bucks to a business owner? 10 bucks, that's how he made the millions. By being master of the 10 bucks.
Rockefeller.
And that, what?
Rockefeller.
Yeah, the story with Rockefeller with the tip. He didn't have a rich father, so he gave a lesson.
You gotta get a new story.
What?
You gotta get a new story.
That was his story. I mean, this story is a new story, and that story was his idea, so don't fault me for that. Sorry. Okay, I defended myself well on that one. Anyway, this is the idea. So then we'll just one more piece, which I want to emphasize again, which I think is also very important in terms of the Limud HaMusar, the Chochmah, and the Musar B'Spailus. I'm sure I've mentioned this. It says, Yofet Torim Derech Eretz Shehigia Shnei Mashkachas Ovin. So Rabbeinu Simcha says he's talking about Hilchas Gzeila. You're learning Hilchas Gzeila. So he says if you learn Hilchas Gzeila and you make a parnosa, you won't come to steal. Push it, because I don't have a great temptation because I have a parnosa. And I learned Hilchas Gzeila, I know how bad it is. So the question is, what does he mean, mashkachas ovoin? It's not mashkachas, it means you won't come to steal. So the pshat is, vaistois, that it's mashkachas, means like this. If I learn Torah, then when I learn about Hilchas Gzeila, it subconsciously makes Gzeila out of the realm of temptation for me. The Torah has that power because the Borei Olam forbade me. So
why doesn't that work? Usually?
What? What? You have to also have, you also have to have a source of income.
No, in general.
What?
Torah forbidding you something is takes out the temptation.
So first of no, but no. Yeah, see what I said? It's two things because he also reduced the temptation. Yegiya Shneya means he has derech eretz, which means I have everything I need. I have a parnosa. That's temptation to steal more, just to have more. So I've reduced the temptation. Reducing the temptation, and then the learning causes it to be removed from me. But I must tell you, the learning has to be done with the right attitude. And here again, I said this yesterday, but in case someone wasn't there, I want to repeat it because to me it was Kedai, it was Shabbos by Abba Mitzvah. It was Kedai to sit through all the speeches and the whole Shabbos just to hear this one vort. And that was that they said that this past Shabbos on Parsha Shlach was when Rav Schwab was spent the Shabbos with the Chofetz Chaim. Chofetz Chaim saw this German yeshiva bocher was studying in the Litvish yeshivas. He was very, impressed. Like, so he left Germany and left all his term derecheres, all that stuff, to join the Litvish yeshiva world. So he invited him for Shabbos. I actually remember I once spoke to Rav Schwab, and he described to me that Shabbos that he was there by the Chofetz Chaim. But anyway, but this I never heard. So he says that he heard that he was there, and he said he heard the Chofetz Chaim being Mavad the Sedra or learning Chumash. And it says, Vayomer Hashem, when Hashem ut gizok, shlach lo shcho, shik, the whole business, like a cheder yingle. So he was in Nishtemim. The Chofetz Chaim is learning Chumash like he was in cheder, teaching the words in Yiddish in the simplest translation of the words. Vostutzach, what's going on over there? So he asked the Talmidim, and they said that the Chofetz Chaim used to do that from time to time, to reconnect with the Tmimus and the Emuna Pshuta of his Cheder days. The Chofetz Chaim had to connect with the Emuna Pshuta. The Torah said, Vayemer Hashem, Dabra, you see this? It's Meish Mepi Agvura. We get older, we have Taivis, we have Yetzer Hara, we have outside influences, we have rationalizations, we have this, we have that, we have bad experiences, we have Tainus on Hashem, we got this, we have Tzadik V'Ralei, Rosh HaVetei, who knows, the whole world is so confusing. So he want, even the Chofetz Chaim, who's such like a Malach Elikim, he wanted to go back to re-experience the experience in Cheder, when he just felt was the Torah zokt, that the Rebbeinu Shalom is talking to me, simple taich like a little yingle. I always tell that little kids have a much greater appreciation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because by them it's emunah pshuta. They hear, this is it, that's it. They don't have any confusions, they don't have any negative experiences, they don't have any tainus, they don't have any things that they saw in the world which don't make any sense. That, push it, this is it. The Torah Hashem is talking to me, Vayedaber Hashem, El Moshe, Lemor, to me. You know, like this is, and Mimela, so I think that's the answer, Hillel. I think that the message sometimes doesn't work as well. To be, and you didn't even let me finish. Mashkachas over means that it caught, maybe I did finish, I don't remember. But mashkachas, it means it causes it to be out of the realm of possibility. It's like, if I have no parnosa, so then the possibility of stealing comes up because I don't have what to eat. But if I have my parnosa and I study Hilchas Gzeila, then it's sitnisht einfallen. It won't dawn on me to steal. It's out, it's forgotten to me. It's out of my world. It's just like certain things wouldn't dawn on anybody, you know, the murder doesn't dawn on us or something. This wouldn't dawn on me because Mashkach, the Torah has that koyach. But the Torah to have that koyach, it has to be with the Chashivus HaTorah. Do you know that Chazal say that by the Churban Beis HaMikdosh, that when they Almei Ovdo Ha'oretz, when even the Nevi'im couldn't figure it out, until HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Al Ozom Es Toirosi Asher Nosati V'Soichom, Zogin Chazal Shelo Berucho BaTorah Tchilo. They didn't say Birchas HaTorah. Some of them did say Birchas HaTorah on some level, but they didn't make a bracha. It wasn't that this is not a chokhmah. This is Teres Hashem. If they did make the bracha, I don't know. I wasted what the pshat is. The Baal Musa say they must have made the bracha. I'm not sure. Okay, I see a little rumbling in the ranks. I don't know whether they made the bracha or not. But what it means is they weren't machshav. So it has to be with a sense of chashivas. This is the Dvar Hashem where he's talking to me. It's not he's talking to the, like the rabbi speaks and the guy puts his head down and he lets the drusha go to the guy behind him. You know, he's talking to somebody else. No, no.
That's pshat.
What?
That's pshat.
Of course. Everybody says he's talking to someone else. I tell the story all the time. When I was 15 years old, on the second day Shavuos, the rabbi gave a fiery drusha. And I remember I was a kid, idealistic kid. Mamish gave. I ran over to him right before Kaddish. And I said, Rabbi, I says, they really needed that. And I remember he puts his glasses down like this and says, what do you mean they, Kimosabi? So we do that. I put my head down like this. And, oh, I tell you, talking to the guy behind me. You know, so this is a big problem. But if a person realizes he's talking to me, the Bire Yoilam is talking to me. This is Moshe Mipi Agvura. This is Reb Itzela. When he used to learn, he used to say, Omar Abaye, what did Abaye say that the Rabbi Nishalaylam said? It's, you connect with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a different story. I want to ask you a question, you hear? A person, let's say, he learns something and then he can go do an Avera. What if, b'shas the Avera, toich kedei dibur, someone would come and say to him, he says, you know something? The Borei Olam said to you, right now, or you'd hear him talking himself, the Borei Olam would say, don't you dare. A whole different story. Now, the halacha is that hasro has to be toich kedei dibur. Because the metzias is that a human being rationalizes and forgets, and all it takes is shalom alecha rabbi umayri, that amount of time for a person to forget that someone told him you're gonna be chayiv viskila if you do this. That's the human being. But lemaisa, if a person can keep that focus, and he can, and that's why he has to learn musa every day. If he learns once, I learned musa 10 years ago. You know that should last a lifetime. No, it doesn't. It lasts 5 minutes. It lasts 10 minutes. You're happy if it lasts for a day. If it lasts till the next musa seder, you're mamish. You're a hero. So that's some of the things that we got to keep in mind. And have a good day.